In 1 Peter, we find out exactly what God was willing to pay for us. And he said, you've been redeemed, but it's not with silver and it's not with gold. Man. It's with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. God said, this is my man. This is how much he's worth to me.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and special guest Jeremy Pearsons discuss the price God willingly paid for you and why that price far exceeds the value of anything you could imagine.
Hello, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Thursday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I tell you what, I am excited. I'm telling you, this Jeremy got me so wound up all this week. When you get into the death, the burial, the going to hell, and the raising of Jesus seated at the right hand of majesty on high, I'm going to tell you what, brother, it hits my button, man. I tell you what, I just live in this all the time. And like you said a couple of days ago, you said, well, you know, people say, you're just out there in a dream world. No.
It's real.
This is the real world. You're the one that's dreaming, dummy. Forgive me for calling you dummy, because I know what a dummy I was for so long, that this is not a dream world.
No.
It's a dream of a world, but it's not a dream world. It was God's dream, and he made reality out
of it. That's right.
Praise God. This is real.
Yes, sir.
Father, thank you for your word. We give you praise for it, sir, and we act on it. We receive it. It's just like you said it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Jeremy, take us back into the reality of redemption.
Let's go, first of all, today to the book of Ephesians, and we'll start in chapter 1, and I want to read into chapter 2, but we've been laying this foundation of redemption because this is the foundation and should be the foundation of every believer, the life of every born-again man, woman, or child.
This actually happened.
Yes.
It actually happened just this way. This is not a myth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a moral story. It is a moral story, but it's not a story that has a moral to it. That's not the whole... This actually happened.
Yeah.
It happened just this way. Most people don't realize that the book of Luke is a documentary. He says so when he's writing to the mm-hmm. king, and he says that he questioned and he talked to many, many people, eyewitnesses, and he talked to them. And so the book of Luke is a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happened. It is documented.
Yeah.
Taken from actual records. And a lot of these records are still intact. There's a lot of them in the Vatican in Rome, that letters and documents intact all the way from Pontius Pilate through the high priest and his documents that he wrote to Rome. And all, I mean, it's documented, man.
Yeah.
This really happened. As we get into these things that we're reading, it really happened to Jesus, and as you accept it, it will really happen to you. And that's what we're after, is that reality.
In him, Colossians 1 says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But if you look at the original language there, it's a verb tense that I guess we don't speak in very often, or if at all, but the original language there would read, for us, it would read more like this. In him, we are having redemption.
Yeah. Yeah.
What that means is it's
ongoing.
That story that really happened, the result of it is still happening. That's why this is the foundation of the life of every believer. And again, it's not the foundation in the sense that you talk about it once and you move on to something else. You talk about this, and then what you move on to, you study that in the light of this. And then what the Lord shows you next, you jump into that in the light of His great love that He demonstrated to us in His plan of redemption.
We have stepped over the redemption line. He did it. Mm-hmm. But now we receive it. We step over it. He makes the change in us. But we receive that change by His Word being final authority. I don't care what it looks like, this is true.
Yeah.
When it says, in Christ, that's talking about me.
Yeah.
Well, anything that it says, in Christ, in whom, in Him, then that verse is talking about me.
Yeah.
So I need to say, okay, this changes everything. I'm no longer like what I thought I was. I am now this. Mm-hmm. In Christ, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Okay, praise God, I receive that. Yeah,
the exchange has been made.
I make the exchange, I receive it, but now I'm going to have to learn to walk in it. Yeah. So I get in the Word and so forth.
And you got to understand that too, and we've mentioned this, but it bears repeating. Redemption, by its definition, on every level, is an exchange.
The exchange
that took place, Jesus laying aside, emptying Himself of His deity and His godliness and became a man, made the exchange. Through His poverty, He who was rich but for your sake became poor that you through His poverty might be rich, made the exchange.
So I don't identify with the poverty anymore.
Absolutely not.
I identify with the riches of God in Christ.
But just because He made the exchange, that part's done. Now what's left is for you and I to make the exchange. And this is what you talked about yesterday, day before. You talked about how you typically could ask any preacher, what's it like serving in ministry? And it's, well, it's hard. You have to give it all.
No.
That's the wrong exchange. Mm-hmm. Here's the exchange. All of His grace for all of my faith. That's the exchange. I will exchange His grace from my faith. In other words, I'll give you every ounce of my faith, and in return, He's going to give you every ounce of His grace.
His grace.
And it's His grace that in Christ Jesus, He has made abound towards you. I mean, grace is chasing you down, man. I mean, it is after you, abounding towards you, overtaking you, overwhelming you. And the exchange is not my sweat for His blessing. That's not the exchange.
No, that's wrong.
The exchange is this. I will rest and put my faith in Jesus, and He in return will give me everything that He already bought and paid for. And God demonstrated that in Ephesians chapter 1. This is the answer to people saying, well, why doesn't God do this? Why isn't God doing this? If this one's sick and He can heal him, why doesn't He? And the answer is here in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is so loaded, we don't have really time to get into all of it. But in verse 19, we'll pick up here and says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, that's me, the one who's had faith in Jesus, according to the working of His mighty power, which He is going to work in Christ?
No.
He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. This is, to really understand redemption, you got to think past tense.
Yeah, you do.
You got to think this is done, this is completed, and the result of it is what's at work in me right now.
It's already mine.
Yes, it is. It's been paid for.
And it's a gift. It isn't a reward.
That's right.
Oh, Jerry.
And I had this thought coming in today as we were getting ready to tape these broadcasts. Your house or any possession you have, would it be any less yours if I gave it to you? Or maybe we should say you gave it to me. Would it be any less yours?
You want my house.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But let's be real here for a second. Is it any less yours if it was a gift?
Well, let me go back to that. Anything that's mine is yours. You're my family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
There's not a room in that house that you can't come over there anytime you want to. And I mean, if it's God's, it's mine.
Now, see, I didn't pay for any of that.
No.
You did not come to me and say, Jeremy, I'll give you access to this if
or
you
rent
pay.
It 2 years on.
Now, had I paid for it, then that's mine, and that's what man wants to do. But it is no less mine because it's a gift.
It's more.
I would say it's more mine.
Yeah.
And that's what happened through the work of Jesus. Now, he gets over into
it's really more precious because it was a gift.
That's what puts the value in it.
I was praying along these lines. I was preaching on it, and I was preparing for the sermon. And the Lord, I saw this played out in my spirit. And I was an only child, so I never had any brothers or sisters in the family. And I always, man, I longed to have a brother or sister. And I had some first cousins that were really close to me, and they were like a brother and sister to me back then. Yeah, but the Lord brought this up. I'm my father's son. And what if I brought in a close friend of mine who didn't have anything, man, orphan boy, but I love him. Mm-hmm. And I brought him to my daddy. And my daddy is big-hearted. I mean, I could see my daddy doing this anyway. And I brought him, I said, Daddy, now Charlie ain't got anything, man. And I want you to help Charlie. Well, and what God showed me here, my daddy just took Charlie in, adopted him, gave him his name. And I remember back when I was just barely a teenager, I mean, you know, like 12, 13 or so. Man, my daddy said if he were to crack my head open, airplanes and motorcycles would have just jumped out. I mean, it was on my mind all the time. And he bought me a motorcycle jacket. I thought that was, man, that's, whew, that was just so real. I mean, he gave it to me for Christmas one year. And I didn't even have a motorcycle. I had a little old motor scooter, it wasn't worth much, but he bought me that jacket. Boy, and I tell you, I was proud of that. Well, in what God showed me, he bought Charlie one too. Mm-hmm. And it was just like mine. He gave me mine, and my mean to tell you, I jerked it out of his hands, and I put that jacket on and zipped her up. Whoa! And somebody said, where you get the jacket, man? My daddy gave it to me, man. Yeah. God, you know, this is big in my heart and mind. My daddy gave it to me. I know my daddy loved me. Never occurred to me not to take it.
Yeah.
He gave Charlie his, and he looked at it, and he felt of it, and he went and hung it up. I said, Charlie, put your jacket on, man. Oh, no. I can't wear that. That's too fine for me. That's too good for me. Hmm. Now, in my mind, are you kidding me? My daddy gave me that. It's mine. Yeah. And I'm going to go to school with my jacket on and somebody come up and say, hey, Copeland, where you get the cool jacket, man? It's really not mine. It's really my dad's jacket. Horse feathers. That's my jacket. My daddy give me that, man. That's my daddy don't wear nothing like that. He don't want that thing. He bought it because he knew I wanted it.
Yeah.
That's his grace. He loved
it.
But Charlie wouldn't put his on. He'd rub it and come by and say, look at that. Mr. Copeland gave me that. Come on, Charlie, put your jacket on, man. That dishonors the man that gave it to you to claim your unworthiness. And you will never, ever get the benefit of it, hanging it on the door of the closet and come by and wipe it down. Now, I'll tell you something else that's going to happen. That jacket will go to ruin because nobody will wear it. This one that I'm wearing, you know why I've still got that jacket? I had to have the collar replaced on it. I still got that thing, man. Why? Because my daddy gave it to me. I quit wearing it a long time ago. Well, when I quit wearing it is when it started coming apart. Mm-hmm. I had to have it fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie's jacket ain't no good for anybody. And particularly for him, it's not working in his life.
Yeah.
And that's redemption hanging on that wall.
Yeah. I'll give you another example along the same lines. I drive a great truck. It's my truck, man. I really, really do like my truck.
Hey, preacher, you've got a cool truck, man. That's a choice truck you got there.
Yeah, I've had a few offers on it. Somebody come up to me, and if they were to ask me, Jeremy, what'd you pay for that truck? I'd say, nothing. I didn't pay for it. But I thought you said it's your truck. It is my truck. Well, what'd you pay for it? I didn't pay for it. Why? How is that my truck? My grandfather gave it to me. And that truck is mine. I drive it nearly every day. I mean, I have driven that thing.
I put
more miles on it in the last 5 years than you did in the first 15 years of it. But it's mine. Now, wait a second. You bought the truck. You paid for the truck. But it's mine. Is it more of it, really? I do, and that is
why. If you bought it, you know why I enjoyed that truck? I enjoyed giving it to you far more than I enjoyed, and I enjoyed driving it. That truck got a hold of me when I first saw it. But when I gave it to you was the day that the truck was really, really a joy to me, was giving it to you.
Yeah.
But now to you, it's a treasure.
It is.
To me, it was transportation until I gave it.
Yeah.
But to you, it's a treasure.
The treasure of it is not the great engine it's got. No. The treasure is not the body, the interior, the tires, the wheels. The treasure is the gift.
Yeah, it is.
That's what puts the value in it to me. And that is exactly why you could offer me any amount of money for it, and it's not worth it. And Peter, in 1 Peter, we find out exactly what God was willing to pay for us. And he said, you've been redeemed, but it's not with silver and it's not with gold.
Man.
It's with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. God said, this is my man. This is how much he's worth to me. And he gave you Jesus. Now, for any of this to mean anything to anybody, they are going to have to get their eyes off of what they're looking at. Somebody look at themselves and say, I don't see treasure. I see overweight. I see underweight. I see ugly. I see to this, to that, not enough this, not enough that. That's not what God's looking at. Remember when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man working in a field?
Yeah.
He said the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in the field. And when he was working, he found that treasure. And for joy over it, this is Matthew 13, for joy over it, went and sold all that he had and bought a field. Now, when somebody walks past that field and they see dirt, grass, rocks, maybe an old dying tree out there in it somewhere, and they think, this guy sold everything he had for this, they're looking at the outside of it. But he's standing there looking at that field. Do you think he sees dirt, grass, rocks?
No. He knows where that pearl is.
What's inside. And that is what
the pearl of great
pearl. Man was worth to God. Now, here's the exchange. Here's the exchange. God said, this is what you're worth to me. This is the price. This is the value I put on you. And in response to that, you know what I'm going to say? Lord, this is the value I put on you. You are worth everything I have. You're worth all my faith. You're worth my time. You're worth my attention. Now, what am I doing? I am doing 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, behold.
Yeah.
Not a word we use too often, and I think we should. You know why? Let's say, for example, you and I were standing out, you and I both like Colorado. Out there on the side of one of those mountains and just, we're standing out there looking, and you're looking off in this direction, I'm looking off this direction. What if I were to be looking out here and I said, Pawpaw, behold! What does that mean? Well, number one, it means I see something. Number two, it means I see something you don't see.
And I want you to see it. Yeah.
And when you see that word in Scripture, when John, this man who had, if he had nothing else, he had a revelation of how much he was loved. And when he says, behold, he wants you to see something. When the Spirit of God through him says, behold, he's saying, I want you to see something that maybe you don't see yet. I want you to take your eyes off of what you've been looking at and put them on this. Take your eyes off of what you feel like you've fallen short in. Put your eyes on this. Behold, look at this. Attend to this. Mm-hmm. Focus on this. Know this. Understand it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That's a gift. Every time you see the word gift in Scripture, you know what you should think immediately? Grace.
Grace, yeah.
They're often translated the same way. The Greek word, charis, is often translated gift. Sometimes it's translated grace. And every time you see bestowed, every time you see gift, something that's being given, or when you see someone that's being forgiven, grace is in operation.
Yeah. And he said, don't be a fool, man. Unwrap the box.
Absolutely.
Take it. It's yours.
Yes, sir.
It's a gift. Don't disown honor the giver.
But for it to take effect and take root in the life of anybody, they're going to have to behold it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to look at it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Amplified Bible, other translations add this right there. And we are. Not only are we called that, we are that. And we are that because He has called
us that. Well, He calls things that
be not as though they were.
And they are.
Now watch this. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, when Jesus is revealed, we'll be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And I think that a religious mindset would read that and say, someday in the sweet by and by when we see Him, when He comes in clouds of glory. But you gotta realize this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. His whole job assignment in this earth is to reveal Jesus
to
you.
That's what He does.
That's what He does. That's why He says to you what He says to you. That's why He shows you what He shows you all along, showing you Jesus. And when He reveals Jesus to you, you're going to be like Him because you see Him as He is.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to get to heaven and you're going to think, I didn't realize how much the earth is like this.
Mm.
Now, the carnal mind says, oh, this is just like the earth. No, it isn't. The earth is just like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Him and think, I had no idea I was this much like Him already.
Yeah.
I don't care how much revelation
the Holy Ghost has been trying to show you this all along.
Look at Him.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have known this 40 years ago. Yeah, well, you got an opportunity to know it.
Yeah, you do.
You can see it, but as you walk and live and breathe and you understand more and more by the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden you're going to see Him, and when you do, you think, whoa, look at Him. Oh, my, I didn't realize I was that much like Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you realize it, it starts changing you anymore to where, I mean, even more, to where, now you're saying, I'm just like Him, I'm just like Him.
The more
and all
you
of
behold
a sudden,
it,
the more it changes.
Yeah.
It will begin now if you begin saying that by faith.
Yeah.
I'm just like Him. He's in me and I'm in Him.
As
He's
he
my
is.
Lord and I'm His. I'm His joint heir. I'm the righteousness of God. I am whatever the Word says I am. And the Holy Spirit is working all the time to cause from the inside out the changes and renewing of your mind. And you begin to realize, this is not my body. He bought and paid for it. It's my sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I have sacrificed this body as a living sacrifice. I say in the name of Jesus, by His stripes, I'm whole. I didn't just say that. He said that into my sacrifice. I had to start calling it that to renew my mind. But it's changed and changed and changed. And the more you do it, and the longer you say it, the more like Him you are.
Yeah.
And the clock caught up with us again. Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
When you don't know who you really are, and you are not aware that no matter what you've done, you are somebody, life can be a nightmare. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you so that you may enjoy God's promises of health, peace, and prosperity. Jesus paid the price for you so that you could accomplish the goals God has planted in your heart. To make the truth of a prosperous life your reality, you must receive your inheritance. In Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD series, Receive Your Inheritance, Kenneth reveals you are entitled to God's promises. Health, peace, and prosperity are your right. God has an awesome plan for life. The key to it all is that you have to accept God to enjoy the benefits of His inheritance. Kenneth Copeland's Receive Your Inheritance shows you how. Free with Purchase, Receive the Resting Side of Life, Jeremy Pearson's dynamic teaching on God's grace on DVD and CD.
Receiving your inheritance, you are entitled to God's promises. We're hearing a whole lot now about entitlements from the government. No, the government can't entitle you to anything. But God, our promises that we have from Him, He set it up and entitled us to them, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And the resting side of life by Brother Jeremy. I mean, you just have to have these. Order these right now today and study them, study them, study them. Listen to them, listen to them, listen to them. Study it with your family. Study it every day in the Bible. Listen to it and listen to it until it begins to take hold in your spirit and then begins to renew your mind. So order these things right now. Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For this radio and television audience throughout the world. Oh, thank you, Lord, empowering us to prosper in the reality of righteousness, the reality of redemption, realities of the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, listen, hey, you need to get into the Southwest Believers Convention this year, July the 4th through the 9th here in Fort Worth. Now, I'm telling you, that's where these conventions go. And you get in there and spend 6 days and nights under the power of these kind of things, totally immersing yourself in them. That's when it really, really turns you around. Jerry Savelle is going to be preaching. Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Gloria is going to be ministering. Are you going to be in? You going to be preaching in 1440
we'll
this year?
We'll be overseeing it. And
amen.
It, yeah.
That is so powerful. Yeah. That's the from 13 to 18 years old. Oh, the power that's in there. And then the super kids, age 6 to 12, what a time that is. I mean, it takes 3 or 4 shifts of people to stay up with those kids over that time. I'm telling you, we don't babysit, brother. No. The power of God comes in power in these meetings. It is a good thing. Now, go to kcn.org, get that information, get your faith on the line. God will take care of it for you. He'll get you there, He'll keep you there, and He'll get you home. Praise God, and no telling what's going to happen to you while you're there. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Event Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org.